Hello, everyone, and thank you so much for being a part of the show. We have a special guest that's going to be joining us, and he will be with us once a month, so you'll get the opportunity to ask your questions when they come up, and he'll be prepared to answer them for you. Attorney Daigle is a bankruptcy attorney, and he's going to help you navigate your way through that, or if you know a friend who's going through this, he would be the guy that you want to put them in contact with. He's also written a book, and we're going to talk about that as well. But let me give you a little bit of his background before we get into just some of the basic information about filing bankruptcy and when to do that, okay? Peter Daigle is an attorney specializing in consumer bankruptcy. He has helped thousands of individuals and families obtain relief from creditors. The Daigle Law Office is located in Norwell and Centralville, Massachusetts, serving clients in southeastern Massachusetts, Cape Cod, and the island. Peter lives on Cape Cod with his wife, Grace, of 34 years, and has 4 children and 2 dogs. He is an avid outdoorsman, and his passions, aside from practicing law, include biking, skiing, and stand-up paddle boarding. At this time, I want to welcome Attorney Daigle to the show. How are you?
Oh, very well, Heaven. Thank you for asking.
First, I always want to know how one gets into whatever their practice is, and you said that this is a passion for you. So before we get into, you know, why we should file bankruptcy or when that should come up, what even got you into practicing?
Well, honestly, what happened to me was that I was, before I was an attorney, I was in the real estate and the building business, and I got into trouble in the 1980s, and I had to file bankruptcy. I ran into a slowdown in the market, and I had too much going on, and so I felt like my world was coming apart, and I had to seek relief in bankruptcy, and that feeling of getting the relief, having been there, it honestly motivated to be a bankruptcy attorney. So I went to law school, became an attorney, and that's how I've concentrated my practice. So I know what it feels like because I've been there, and so that's what sort of motivates me every day to be able to help other people.
And you've written a book. Let's talk about that book.
I wrote a book, and in the introduction, it talks about my experience slightly and how I got into this field. And also, it's written in a question and answer method where there's about 20 questions, and they're all easy questions and answers, and that it's things that folks are really interested in. What happens to my credit? What happens if somebody co-signs me? Will my spouse be affected? How will my house be protected? And so the questions that everybody wants to know, I provided the answers for in this book. And so it's about 50 pages long.
Awesome. Well, give them the name of the book and where they can pick up a copy of that, and then we're going to get into our questions for your interview today.
Okay, so the name of the book is The Truth About Bankruptcy in Massachusetts. And you can get it if you go on my website, daigalawoffice.com. You can order it from my site.
Awesome. Now, you talked about a perfect personal scenario of your own, a reason why you would file bankruptcy. What are some other reasons that people come to you about filing bankruptcy?
Well, usually there's some type of an event that occurs in their life. For instance, a divorce, loss of a job, an illness, or some type of a circumstance that they hadn't planned on, honestly, and that had come up and almost out of nowhere, that when they laid out their life plan, it all of a sudden appeared. And so in that event, causes them to go into financial distress, whether they can't pay their mortgage, they can't keep their credit cards current, can't pay their car loans, student loans, whatever. And so one thing that bankruptcy does do is it gives you that fresh start, from that event having occurred. And sometimes it's difficult to earn your way back out of your debt, even if you're back on track. You get your job back, or you go through the divorce and you get support or whatever. Still, that the time that you've lost, that speed bump, so to speak, that you hit, and it just knocks you back so that you can't recover easily.
Wow. And I know sometimes people feel like bankruptcy is a dirty word. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, at some point, everybody needs a break in life on something. So think of it as this your chance to, get a break and get a fresh start. Because there's no other way for you to earn your way out of your money. I mean, certainly everybody wants to fight and pay the bills and earn their way back out of their debt. But, sometimes you don't really have, there's not really any alternative, whether you're an age that you may not be able to make enough money back or you can't go back to your earning capacity and you just need to get a fresh start. And you're just completely overwhelmed with what's here. And so look at it more as a positive that I'm going to get my life back and a fresh start than a negative. So I think it's really how you approach it from your own thinking versus, and you know, we're all trained to fight to the end, but
yeah,
I think at some point. Yeah,
mindset is a powerful thing. Now, one more question in this arena. Who all can know about this? Because I think that people feel like this is something like public shame. So is this something that's private, or can anyone know about this?
Well, the only place that it will show up is on your credit report. The federal bankruptcy documents, they're not, even though they're a public record, you couldn't find them on Google. You couldn't Google somebody and see if they had filed bankruptcy. You have to be able to have access to the federal bankruptcy docket in order to find that out. So it's kept fairly protected, unless you're a public figure somehow that word got out. Or if you had access to somebody's credit reports, you wouldn't be able to have access to that. So very rarely does it come up unless, you know, someone would run a credit check on you.
All right. What are the requirements for someone who's considering filing bankruptcy or even thinking of this as an option? What are the requirements for filing bankruptcy?
Well, the first thing is you're required to take a credit counseling course. When they changed the bankruptcy laws back in 2005, they sort of said, we'll give everybody a chance for a fresh start, but you're going to have to go to credit counseling. And it's simply a one-hour online course. You can do it online or by phone. So that's the requirement you have to do now. You have to get some credit counseling and how to set up a budget. So that's one requirement. The other requirement is you can't have filed in the last 8 years. There's an 8-year difference. So if you had previously filed, you're not going to be able to file again. So those are the two big criteria. One is the time for filing, and the second that you have to take the course. But the rest of it, you would qualify for.
Now, I am a single person. I've never been married. And one of the things I've always been concerned about was how someone else's life affects my life. So when someone files bankruptcy, how does that affect your spouse?
Okay, that's a question I get asked a lot. So filing a bankruptcy is based solely upon your Social Security. So even though you were married and in a state court, you know, the judge could say, well, what's yours is his and what's his is yours, and it's all melded together. In the context of a bankruptcy, it's purely an individual thing, and it's based only on your Social Security number. So whatever your Social Security number is attached to is what's affected by the bankruptcy. Whether it be a credit card or a house mortgage or a car loan, if your spouse is not a part of it, and that's not mean being an authorized user on a credit card, like, for instance, you give your spouse a credit card that you've signed up for, but they can use it. That doesn't affect them that way. It's only if you – it only affects the actual, you know, guarantor of the debt.
Well, that's – I might get married one day. We do have some people that have tuned in to listen to what we're sharing today. So I want them to let us know by virtually raising your hand if you have a question, and you can do so by pressing *6. But if not, we have some great content, and I think I have loads of great questions here, but I'd love for you to let Attorney Daigle know what's on your mind, if you have any questions, or even if you know a loved one that's been through this. And Attorney Daigle, I understand that it's not a one-size-fits-all, and we are given some very general answers, but I think what I'm ultimately trying to achieve here is for people to feel comfortable. And you talked about mindset just a moment ago. When we're looking at bankruptcy, look at it more positively, because this is a way to get a fresh start. And if we've ever messed up anything, like gotten mud on our shoes, it takes a little longer to clean that off than it is to keep it clean. So look at it that way. This is an opportunity, but it's going to take a process. And it's interesting that you said that there is a mandatory credit counseling?
Yeah,
that's
credit
done.
Counseling, yes.
That's so interesting. Why was that piece added?
Because they kept seeing a lot of repeat filers, that the credit card company said, you know, we've seen the same people over and over again, and we feel that there needs to be some education out there on how not to have this happen. And essentially, the credit counseling is based upon building a budget and showing you in black and white how You need to live within your means, and if this is what you make, this is what you can afford to spend. So the counseling is mainly around building a budget for yourself, and that you can kind of go forward with your fresh start, living within your means, and not not getting credit cards and using those as a crutch, for a lack of income.
Mm-hmm. Now, I think there's two or three kinds of bankruptcy that people can file. Could you talk about those?
Sure.
Briefly?
There's Chapter mm-hmm. 7 and there's Chapter 13. What a Chapter 7 for is basically it just gets rid of consumer debt like credit cards, hospital bills, utilities, personal loans. That's what a Chapter 7 does. What a Chapter 13 does is called a reorganization. So if you mm-hmm. are fortunate enough to get behind on your mortgage or taxes or car payments, what a Chapter 13 allows you to do is play catch-up on those items. So it'll allow you over a three-year period or a five-year period to kind of get caught up on your house mortgage, car loans, if you're behind on child support. And so what it allows you to do is just kind of reorganize your debt to allow you to earn your way back out of those arrears so you can keep the item. So if you're behind on your mortgage, it allows you to play catch-up, where in a Chapter 7, there's no allowance for playing catch-up. You have to pay it or you lose your item. Lose your house or lose your car.
What, if anything, are items that will survive a bankruptcy, meaning what will still be there even after you file the bankruptcy?
Okay, well, if you owe your former spouse money through an alimony,
I got to get my money.
So the ex-wife, ex-husband needs to get paid. The IRS, Uncle Sam, if you owe him any money within the last 3 years, you're not going to be able to avoid that. Outside of 3 years, it can be discharged. And student loans, those are the three areas that are going to survive the bankruptcy. You're not going to be able to get discharged.
All right. Well, got to pay that spouse, Uncle Sam, and school. All right. I know people are saying, dog, this isn't even helping me at all. It is helping you all. It's helping you. Okay, I want to ask one last question,
yes.
And then I will allow you to let people know how to get in touch with you as we wrap this up, and we're going to meet again next month. And this leads us to next month's conversation, because people are wondering how their credit is affected by bankruptcy.
Okay, great. So you want me to give you a brief answer to that, or do you want to just...
give me a brief answer to that, because we're going to get into it deeper next month.
Quite simply, you get a fresh start in bankruptcy. So all those little nicks and bruises that you have in your credit report are wiped out. You will start with a clean slate on your credit report. So, again, all those negative things that folks, creditors, have been saying about you for all this time, whether they're late or delinquent or slow pay, will be gone, and you'll get that fresh start. But you'll still need to rebuild your credit, and, again, we can talk about that next time on how to actually get your credit back in line once the debt is gone.
Absolutely. We do have a question here. Last four digits, 3989. What's your question for Attorney Daigle?
That actually was my question, the one that you asked.
Okay.
So I'll come in next week to find out more information on that. Because that has always been the stigma that I had heard regarding filing bankruptcy, is that your credit will be locked up and it will actually last longer than the actual bankruptcy. So I'm interested. I'll tune in next week to find out what he has to say about that.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thank you. And I'm sorry I asked your question, kind of. All right, Attorney Daigle, let people know how to get in touch with you outside of this interview.
Okay, so if you'd like to phone me, and I do offer a free consultation, you can call me at 508-771-7444. That's 508-771-7444. Or you can reach me at my website at daigelelawoffice.com. It's daigelelawoffice.com. So either through my website, you can send me an inquiry, request a free copy of my book, or you could call me on the phone, and I'll be happy to speak to you.
Thank you so much, and we will talk with you next time.
Okay, thank you.